This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Girls high school basketball tonight, Hillsboro's at Southwestern, live around 7 on FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. Going to catch up with Gary Boker later on in the program. He'll have the call of the game tonight as the South Central Conference Championship, in a lot of ways, on the line. Hillsboro and Southwestern still both perfect in league play. Pena sitting there with one loss. The Toppers will play Pena on Monday. Speaking of Hillsboro and Pena, there will be a big-time boys showdown in Toppertown Monday night as Hillsboro will be hosting Pena. And for the Toppers, they will have a chance to wrap up a perfect COVID season. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Hilltopper head coach Joe Vanzo. And Coach, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
How did that sound to your ear right there? A chance for the Toppers to wrap up an undefeated season and then clinch the conference championship Monday night. Exciting stuff.
It sounds wonderful. 6 or 7 weeks ago, we didn't even know that we were going to get to have a season. So just for that to be a possibility is wonderful.
What were the expectations and hopes coming into the year, and then maybe how did that evolve as the season moved along?
To be quite honest with you, the season got started so fast. We really didn't sit down and talk about what we wanted to accomplish or what our goals were as a team. We focused on the present day and just trying to get better that day, and getting ready for our first game, and we've really just kind of taken it one day at a time, one practice at a time, one game at a time, and we really didn't consider this a possibility or talk about this as a team until earlier this week. So once we got to this week, we knew it was going to be really tough for us with having 4 games in 5 days, but we talked about it as a team, and we made it our goal to get to Monday undefeated and try to finish this thing off with a clean sweep.
And you mentioned 4 games in 5 days. I mean, that is a brutal stretch here at the end of the year. And your last two, Vandalia in overtime last night with Gillespie, both hard-fought ball games to where you guys were able to pull it out.
Definitely. We haven't really faced a whole lot of adversity this year. We haven't had a practice after a loss. How crazy is it that Jay Teakins is going to go through an entire senior year without going to a practice after a loss? But against Vandalia, we didn't play great, and a lot of that had to do with Vandalia. I mean, they did a great job of taking us out of a lot of things that we wanted to do, and they hit the Casey Kitson hit a big shot at the end of the game to put us into overtime, and we really kind of stubbed our toe late in that game, missing some free throws and with a couple turnovers. And we just kind of talked about it there in the huddle before overtime. Like, we haven't gone through something like this. Like, let's fight through this. It's a 4-minute game and see what happens. And we just felt like we were the better team. And as long as we came out confident and had good possessions, we liked our chances. And then last night was kind of a different ordeal. We've really gone through the year without being in a whole lot of foul trouble. Gavin Matouche, our leading rebounder and one of our top scorers, played 3 minutes in the first half because he picked up 2 early fouls. And we had so many kids step up. Ian Malloy played a great first half for us last night, really just dominates his role. And then late in the game, in the second half, Blaze Helton was hurting a little bit, and Ian was in foul trouble. So we went with a different lineup and played 4 guards, and Bryce Connor did a great job of coming in, and we really tried to spread the floor and play through Gavin in that second half, and kids just did a tremendous job playing together and finishing the game.
Joe, when I've seen your squad this year, the word moxie seems to come to my mind a lot, just kind of gritty and hard-nosed, and I guess that kind of showed itself here these last couple of games, because it's easy to look ahead to that big showdown with Pena, but your kids in a couple of tough battles found a way to get it done.
They sure did, and, we've talked about it every night. Every game's different. You're not gonna shoot at your best every night, but, boy, you can control your effort and your energy, And our guys, I mean, we have done a tremendous job this year of playing together. You know, we've had a kid, a different kid lead us in scoring, five different times. You know, we have a different kid every night, I feel like, who was our best player that night. So it makes us hard to defend. You can't really focus in on one or two kids because they can all score. And they've just done a great job of embracing, hey, making the right play. And an uncontested shot is what we want. We don't really care who it comes from, because all of our kids have confidence in themselves and each other. So I just can't say enough about how great our kids have done in that regard.
And of course, you mentioned Jace Teak, and he's the only senior on your squad this year. How much does the rest of the team want to bring this all the way home for Jace?
They all want it, no doubt. I mean, last year was a really hard year for us. You know, we didn't play well. We didn't perform up to our expectations. And you know, Jace is our senior leader, and he's had a great year. And the kids really rally up behind him. And you know, they want to see him go out with a win. You know, it's a unique season in that, you know, usually what two teams get to end their season with a win. Team that wins state, the team that gets third place, right?
Yep.
And then this year is completely different. You know, it means a lot to go out with a win, you know, either way, but for us to have a chance to finish the year without losing a game, I mean, it's unreal to me to even sit here and think about that being a possibility. So, yeah, I mean, our kids want it, no doubt.
So I guess in some ways you saved the best for last year with Pena, the last game up. And will this be, at least I guess on paper, in theory, the toughest opponent you've played this year so far?
Definitely. Truth be told, I don't really know a whole lot about their personnel yet. We really, truly have taken it one game at a time. You know, I've seen them on film a couple times earlier in the year when we were scouting other opponents. But I really wasn't focused in on them. But they're very deep. I know that our bigs are going to have to do a good job of slowing down their best players. They can score from the outside. Coach Metzger does a great job with them. You know, but, you know, we're playing on our home floor, you know, and we're going to have to make some shots, and we're going to have to be efficient. And we're going to have to compete for four quarters. But, you know, we've got a shot, no doubt. But we will have to play our best to win.
And that's always the balance, isn't it, Joe? Like trying to figure out, okay, what does the other team do? But at the end of the day, you do have to focus on what the toppers do. So what do the toppers need to do Monday night to come out with the W? Besides score more points.
I really think it comes down to us just being efficient with our possessions and getting a good shot. Good things happen whenever we get open looks. When we get the shot that we want, we'll have to limit turnovers. And like I said, I think that we just need to compete at the defensive end of the floor, not give them any easy buckets, you know, make them earn it. You know, and I'm expecting a great game. I really hope it is. You know, if you just kind of follow our scores, they've really been pretty similar. So it will be interesting to see how we match up. But we're really looking forward to it. I know our kids are. They've kind of circled this as of about a week and a half ago. I've kind of heard them talking about it a little bit. You know, it was our job as a staff to get them focused up on, hey, we still got, you know, a lot of games to go here and taking it day by day. But this is one that I think they've had kind of highlighted.
Has all the makings of a great one. Will there be a freshman game at 4:30?
It's two levels. So there'll be a fresh soft game at 5:30 and then varsity game to follow.
Okay. Good deal. We'll have it live on FM 106. Joe, good luck Monday. Talk to you then.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
You too. That is Joe Vance, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And What a ball game that will be. It'll be a Hillsborough Payne girls-boys doubleheader on Monday night. The boys game live at about 7, and then Hillsborough at Payne girls will follow probably around 8:30. Both games on FM 106 and online at WUSMIRadio.com. Of course, before the Lady Toppers turn their attention to Pena, they've got a big ball game tonight in Piasaw against Southwestern. We'll have that live for you about 7 tonight on FM 106. We'll be talking with Gary Boker in about a half hour to get a little preview of that ball game. Both Hillsborough and Southwestern undefeated in South Central play. Pena sitting with one loss in conference play. So a lot on the line here tonight for Hillsborough and Southwestern. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. Believe it or not, we've got boys soccer that starts on Monday. We'll be talking with Gillespie coach John Overticchio coming up at the bottom of the hour. High school football practice has officially began. We'll have high school football on the radio 13 days from now. And coming up next, we're going to talk with Carletonville football coach Chad Easterday when Sports Saturday continues. We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and 2 weeks from now, we will be discussing the first week of the spring high school football season as practice got underway this past week. And happy to be joined on the phone right now by Carletonville head football coach Chad Easterday. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Great. We're practicing as we were talking, so this is a good morning.
A very good morning. And Chad, just, I guess, first off, how strange is all this?
You know, once you get out here and get rolling, it's fine. But, you know, it's definitely a different type of deal because, well, that's it's just not football weather. We shouldn't be starting this. We should be ending this kind of weather. So, you know, I guess that's the weird part about it. And I think the scheduling logistics of, you know, obviously the pandemic has caused many scheduling nightmares on basketball kids and those types of things. So I think those are some hurdles that we've never had to do before, and we're working through those as we speak. So,
and I know that Darren Deneath had the basketball schedule set up to where there wasn't going to be any games scheduled for next week, but with reschedules and postponements, there is a basketball game on Friday. But for the most part, I guess, are your football kids that play basketball, are they into football mode now?
I think they're into both. We've been trying to do a ton of walkthroughs so that they're not physically exhausted. So we're trying to get them mental reps as much as possible so the minute that's over, or that on game days we're doing those types of things. On the other time, I tell you what, I give our kids a ton of credit and kind of they're doing double duty. So, you know, we've been trying to make sure that we're taking care of kids' bodies and that type of stuff. And, you know, obviously I think across the state we're going to have some conditioning issues. Like, we haven't done a ton of conditioning because obviously those basketball guys are required to go for 2 hours and they come out and see us for an hour and a half and that type of stuff. So,
and Chad, you know, I've been thinking, you mentioned the conditioning. In a normal football year, you got the entire summer to get your kids ramped up. You know, you slowly bring the physicality in and you're ready to go. How is that going to work this year? You know, basically 2 weeks contact-wise, when you go out to Greenville on the 19th, what do you expect?
You know, I don't know. I guess you expect what you expect in August, but, you know, I think you have to be real with yourself that there are going to be some aspects of the game that are going to be a little, I'm going to call, more sloppy than others. So, you know, we try to be focused on tackling and those types of things. You don't want the minor things to beat you. So, you know, are you going to play, are you going to have less plays and practice more technique than we've done in the past? So I think those are some coaching philosophies that coaches have to make decisions on. Where do you want to put all your eggs at? So, you know, obviously you guys know me. I'm a big special teams guy. We don't want to beat ourselves. We want somebody else to beat us. So that we're trying to take that approach with it, and hopefully we can get that done here in the next couple of weeks.
Obviously for your seniors, this is completely different. Normally you wrap up football, you go on to basketball and the rest, but now it's reversed. You got the football kids coming out of basketball. So for the seniors, there's going to be nothing normal, of course, about this. But just like all the sports, at least they get to play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, regardless where your stance is on COVID and where we are today, when you and I last talked, I was on my back porch at home thinking about, you know, talking to you about possibly getting there. So, you know, nothing's normal. We just have redefined the word normal. So I think those are things that you constantly have to talk to kids about. And, Tim, you know me, no excuses.
Right.
So, you know, if they're going to let us play, then they're going to let us play. If we get 50 fans, we're going to play in front of 50 fans. If we don't get any fans, we're going to play not in front of any fans. So, you know, those are things that we can't control, and I've always been about controlling the things we can control. So, you know, that's our philosophy, and we're going to try to make that happen. So,
and, of course, you know, with masks being required, that was a big, I think, question for a lot of people. It's like, how in the heck are masks and football going to work, mouthpieces, water bottles, all that? But there's a specific mask just for football. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, obviously we're practicing today and we don't have them in yet. They're supposed to be, of course, supposed to be in Friday, but I'm sure every other football program in the state is doing the same thing. So, you know, they're Velcro to the actual shield on the inside. So the mouthpiece has freedom to be ejected if need be, so to speak, that type of stuff. So we're going to have our kids' gator mask around their necks. I know that's not the best thing for COVID, but that way when they pop that helmet off, if they have to, that they're making that happen. So we're trying to be as safe as possible. And I mean, let's be honest, we're just talking about lowering the probability.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes I get really upset at people because they're trying to have this zero tolerance. And I believe if you can achieve that, that's great. But if we're going to allow them to play, we want to limit the probability. So I think those are better words than zero tolerance. So, and that's just Coach Easterday's opinion on life. So, I mean, I totally get it. I mean, I totally get that I'm not making those decisions, but sometimes you get a little frustrated because everyone talks in absolutes, and life is not absolute. It's, you know, it's probability of spreading COVID and trying to do the right things. It's trying to get your kids not to go out together after practice. I mean, those are greater things than I think we need to worry about. So,
well, Jen, that's what I've come to realize and believe is the spread or whatever, to me, it's not happening in the actual game, like you just mentioned, after the game. Where are the kids going? What are they doing? That is where I think the issues maybe are arising. But from a kid perspective, I mean, high school is supposed to, those are supposed to just be the carefree years of your life.
Sure.
And for these kids, there's been nothing carefree about the last year.
Nope, you're right. Those are mental things that we'll have to work through, and that they're working through, and you know, and they're just going to have to grow up real quick. And that's what they've done in the last 8 months. They've had to make adult decisions, even though they're not quite ready for it. So,
obviously, a 6-week spring season, and you've got an interesting contest with the SHG JV team. Talk a little bit about how that came together.
Well, you know, Litchfield couldn't put on a varsity team, and the South Central Conference had to do a random draw, that type of stuff. So we ended up with an opening, and we'd called around, and we couldn't find anyone. Couldn't find one. I was hoping it would be week one and two, but obviously that didn't work out real well for us. So SHG didn't have a JV game that week. So what they're going to do is, you notice on the schedule says JV plus. So I think we could see some seniors. I think we could see a wide variety of people that day from them, and they needed a game for anyone else that's not a starter, and we needed a football game. So, you know, when you're playing a 6A program and you're playing their JV plus, it very well could be a playoff atmosphere for us. So, you know, I don't really know. I haven't worked those details out, but I didn't want a bye week. I mean, the bottom line is we didn't want a bye week, and we didn't want to have to travel 3 hours to get somewhere. So, you know, we'll take whoever shows up or go with somebody within an hour radius, and we'll see how it goes. So,
you know, Chad, maybe
what are your thoughts on the game?
I'm intrigued by it. I always like to see those types of matchups because, you know, if folks only kind of, if you're from a small town, if maybe you only pay attention to small schools, you might not appreciate how good a JV team from a big-time program like that is. I mean, I remember going to Edwardsville basketball games years ago. You watch the JV game. Those kids are dynamite. They'll never see the varsity floor at Edwardsville.
Right.
And, you know, the football's no different.
You know, Tim, I'm glad to hear you say that because that was my idea on the whole thing. So, I mean, you know, SHG obviously is a rich tradition program that has many big trophies in the trophy case. So they're number twos. I've always talked to all our kids, you know, always felt really proud about our program. A lot of our kids that are number two could start on a lot of teams in our conference, for example. You know, and that's true of all of our conference schools. So that just accelerates the higher you go up in classes. So you are 100% correct.
Chad, final thing here. The new turf field arrived at just the right time because we know what spring in Mid-Illinois can be, and your field is going to be fantastic here.
Yep, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's been nice. I talked to several coaches in the area, and you know, obviously they're fighting mud and those types of things, and all we're doing is fighting schedule. So as long as we can communicate with soccer and PE, and so it's great for sports. But I'm not gonna lie, Tim, too. It's been very nice to see PE kids that are not going to be trapped inside, and they can get off of COVID and get a relief and get outside and get 6 feet apart. That would not be happening if we wouldn't have a great community that put forth a great effort and supported such a great cause.
And I think, have you been splitting the field during the week with the soccer team?
Yeah, we've actually been going half. It's like we got like 3.5 hour increments. So like we'll show up early and do our full field stuff, and then we'll condense down and they start on the other end. And then when we finish there, they get the full field. So to be honest with you, it took Coach Johnson and I literally a couple hours, and we started working it out. And we had a few of those practice days where we tried to work out the logistics, and it's been working really well. So we're actually out here together. We started at 8. They came in at 9. They're going 9 to 11:30. We're going to go to 8 to 10:30, and then everyone gets the full field for the amount of time, and then we roll from there.
You know, a lot of times people think, boy, just every football is just like button heads with just all the other programs. It's just football, football, football. That's not the case. You guys work together to ensure the best opportunities for all the kids involved.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, you don't know how much space you have on a football field until you just put your brain to it a little bit. I mean, we can be running 7-on-7. Coach Borgini could have lineman drills along our side and that sort of stuff. And no offense, it's still we, our practice field still has lines on it. It's a little muddy this morning. We haven't gone over there. But, I mean, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a soccer game here. We're going to get it for the first hour until 5 o'clock, and then we're going to the practice field. So, you know, we've made it work here at CUSC1, and – you know, that's not going to be an issue for us. We're going to make sure that everybody who needs it is going to be able to do it.
And this is the last question, I promise, but it just popped into my head. Will you continue to use the practice field like in the fall, or will you keep your practices on the turf?
We'll practice on the turf as many times as possible. So, you know, I think some things have to happen over there. I think, you know, especially if you have an away game and you want to get your kids some. The great thing about turf nowadays is when in the old days, you, it used to be totally different. You had different shoes. So, I mean, it's basically the same surface. You wear the same cleats and that sort of stuff. So I think cutting and all that, it's the bounce of the ball on punt, kickoff, those types of things are, I think, what you need to practice when you are playing somebody away.
You needed another advantage on special teams, didn't you? You just did, and now you got one on that home turf.
It bounces well, I can tell you that. So, you know, nothing will change in that aspect, that's for sure. So
fantastic. Chad Easterday, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and enjoy the rest of practice, sir.
All right. Thanks.
All right, that is Chad Easterday, the head football coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And, yeah, we're going to have high school football in 13 days. Just hard to wrap your head around with this spring football season. But, man, it is going to be a lot of fun. 6 weeks starting on March 19th. Of course, starting on Monday, boys soccer will have games getting underway. They started practice this past Monday. And after the break, we're going to talk with Gillespie soccer coach. Remember, they co-op with Litchfield. Jono Verticchio joins Sports Saturday following these messages. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini basketball at Ohio State, 2 o'clock this afternoon on 105.3 The Ox. Girls high school basketball tonight, big implications for the South Central Conference title. Hillsboro at Southwestern, live about 7 on FM 106 and streaming at WSMIRadio.com. About to get very busy on the high school sports calendar. Basketball wraps up next week. Boys soccer, football, and volleyball will all be in season come Monday. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Gillespie boys soccer coach Jono Verticchio. And coach, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, Tim. It's great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. And, I mean, soccer's no different than all the other sports that got moved. Does it feel strange having boys soccer practice in March?
It does, but in a good way. It's just great to be back out here.
And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about masks. We know masks are required. I haven't noticed the masks to be any type of issue in basketball. Soccer's a different sport, though, more continuous motion. How is that all working out?
You know, it's funny you say that because it hasn't been an issue for us at all. We wear masks all through practice while we're scrimmaging. I must say, when I try to compete with the boys, I don't know that I can use the mask as well. I have to step away a little quicker than them. But there hasn't been one complaint. I'm watching them right now. Actually, we're at practice, and we're doing a little scrimmage drill, and everybody's wearing their masks. Nobody's complaining. No issues.
And I guess really it is a simple thing is either you wear the mask or you don't get to play.
That's exactly right. We've kept it pretty black and white on that. Now, and I told my guys that, you know, if you need a minute, we want to walk away from everybody to catch your breath and we turn the other direction, that's fine. But when we're together in a group, we keep our masks on, and I've been very happy with the compliance.
What will be some of the different rules for the COVID in the game? I know in basketball they've got a mask timeout each quarter. What will soccer be doing there?
You know, I'm not really sure if we're doing the timeouts. I believe that we are doing timeouts for masks, but with soccer also, everybody's not always in the play.
Right.
So if you're not in the play, there is some consideration that you can take a step away, and as long as you're not around everybody. I'm telling my guys 20 feet. I know that is well past the guidelines, but I figure let's just be safe as opposed to sorry. So they take their mask down for a second and, you know, catch their breath and then get right back into it.
And that's the thing. I mean, a soccer field, maybe you don't realize how big it is until you're actually on the field trying to cover, but you got a lot of space out there.
Exactly, and we're outside, so I don't think it's as big of an issue. And, you know, again, when we're in play, if a person's mask falls off while the play is going on, the guidelines are just for them to try to get it back up right away. We're not going to be stopping the game. But the refs and the coaches and, for us, the other players are going to be reminding each other, let's just get that mask up.
Talking with John Overticchio here, the Gillespie boys soccer coach. And, of course, you co-op with Litchfield. So what are the numbers looking like for the program this year?
You know, they're looking good. I was a little worried with everything being crammed together that we wouldn't have a bunch of kids coming out. But we're 16 strong. I know that's smaller than some teams, but for us, it's a good number, and we're a very solid 16. Really looking forward to the season. The kids love being out here right now. Nobody wants to in practice early. It's just a lot of fun to be back.
How many kids from Litchfield did you get into the program?
We have 10 kids from Litchfield and 6 kids from Gillespie.
Is that reversed from last year, or was that about what you had last year too?
It's about reversed from what it was last year. We've graduated a few more kids from Gillespie. And we have 2 freshmen coming in from Gillespie. Well, we have 5 Litchfield freshmen coming in. So we have good numbers coming up.
And from a coaching perspective, when you have that number of freshmen, that just kind of puts a smile on your face, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so. We actually, and a few of our Litchfield kids are still on the basketball team, so they haven't been able to be at practice every day. But I can tell you, one of the freshmen that came in, I thought, well, he looks like he should be on the football team, but apparently he was in the right place, so we're really happy to have him.
And, John, talk. I mean, when you get a co-op, you never know for sure how things will mesh together. But anymore, I mean, kids from Gillespie and kids from Litchfield, they hang out. They know each other from all sorts of different interactions. So it's not like you've got 2 foreign entities trying to come together here.
Oh, 100%. I think these kids hang out together every weekend. When we just got back, I was talking about what they've been the last few months. They've all been together. They've been talking about soccer, getting ready for the season. When I first took over, I was a little nervous about the co-op, but it's been a great thing for us.
What are the expectations for this year? How will you approach? I know some basketball coaches have said we're kind of approaching the season like we would in the summer. Not everyone, but some. How will you be approaching this spring soccer season?
Well, I'll be honest, we have some pretty high expectations because I think we have a good talent level this year. But we're also understanding the world we're in, and our motto is you got to adapt and go with the flow. They can change protocols on us, whatever they want to do, we'll still be there ready to go. So we're just trying to stay mentally strong this year. And I feel like that's just, you know, a good thing for the boys to learn in life, too, that, hey, Kurt, you know, this stuff happens. Things change on you quickly, and you have to adjust. And if you don't, frankly, a lot of times you get left behind. So I'm real proud of the boys. They have just adjusted spectacularly.
You know, Terry Tilt used to always talk about athletics is just another classroom and life lessons being learned. And you know, we've all been frustrated with what has happened here the last year. But I think you just nailed it right there. At the end of the day, that's life. It's not always fair. Sometimes it just flat out sucks.
That's exactly right. You know, and that's one of the things we do with our scrimmages, you know. We're all call bad calls on purpose. You know, just hey, deal with it, boys. It's going to happen in games, too. You can either put your head down and pout, or we can get the ball back. So those are the things we're really focusing on right now.
Johnny, you mentioned the nice number of freshmen. Let's talk a little bit about the seniors. Obviously, not the way they wanted to have their high school soccer careers come to a close, but this will be a unique season, and they'll have stories for the rest of their lives out of this.
Oh, for sure. We actually have two seniors, Nolan Hayes from Gillespie and Ian Hall from Litchfield. They're our captains this year, and they have just been leading spectacularly. I think their enthusiasm has really helped the morale of the team. They're not spending any time pouting about what they didn't get. They're just, you know, I know I've said it a bunch, but just extremely happy to be here. And I'm so excited for them because both of these guys have just put so much work in over the last 4 years, and it just would really be a shame for their not to get to finish their senior season. They're both going to be great players.
Fantastic. And then how do you see the South Central shaking out this year?
You know, I'm excited because I don't know that there is one clear-cut favorite. I know Carlin was going to be good. Hillsboro's always good. I think we're going to surprise people. Pena's always in there. It really is anybody's race, in my opinion. We get going on Thursday with Vandalia, and then the following Tuesday on March 16th, we have a night game actually in Carlinville that we're really looking forward to, and I think we'll know a lot after that.
Then how many games did you actually wind up with on your schedule here?
I believe we have 13 or 14 right now. Well, there's a couple that we're still trying to get finalized, but we have at least 13, which for a six-week season is pretty good. We're happy with it.
And, you know, we've seen basketball teams that, you know, maybe play four or five games in a week. That's not realistic, I wouldn't say, with soccer. So what will be your, I guess, if nothing gets canceled and moved around, what will be your busiest week in terms of number of games in 1 week, do you think?
You know, I've tried – we normally would go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday with games. We only have one Saturday game at this time, and I'm going to try to keep it that way just because the boys have other things besides soccer going on. They're involved in Scholastic Bowl and band and all kinds of other competitions. I don't want to overload them with just one thing. So we're going to go basically every Tuesday, Thursday. We have a Monday game here or Saturday game there, but pretty much Tuesday, Thursday.
Sounds good. John Verticchio, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to following the Gillespie-Litchfield soccer co-op this year. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, Tim. You have a good day.
You too. John Verticchio here on WSMI. And, yeah, you know, Gillespie-Litchfield with the co-op, it sounds strange just because you wouldn't think those two would naturally come together, but it sure sounds like that is really turned into a very good partnership between Gillespie and Litchfield for boys soccer. So, yeah, it's going to be a wild few weeks here for high school athletics as we're going to have sports in season at the same time that you just don't normally see with boys soccer and football. Of course, they're normally in season together in the fall, but you're going to have volleyball running in the spring, and then basketball, boys and girls, of course, will wrap up a week from today. And then just from a pure bigger sports perspective here at the Tally Broadcasting Stations, coming up by the middle of March, we're going to have high school football on FM 106. We're going to have the Fighting Illini basketball squad in the NCAA tournament on 105.3 The Ox. And we're going to have Cardinal baseball on AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Just going to be very strange to be filling out NCAA tournament brackets while at the same time getting ready for high school football. I've tried to embrace this from the get-go. Even last fall, when everything was getting canceled and we were all just annoyed and upset that football wasn't going to happen, I just tried to keep in my mind, yeah, we don't get any football this fall, but you know what we get? We get two football seasons in the calendar year of 2021. And that's going to be the case for football, for boys soccer, and for volleyball. And sure, not ideal. If we all had to choose, we wouldn't have chosen it this way. But Let's embrace it and have fun, because spring football, it's going to be neat. It's going to be, you heard Chad talk about it, just weather-wise, like we should be wrapping up now, not getting started. It's just, it's going to be very, very fun to watch these spring seasons unfold. We need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with our buddy Gary Boker. He will be on the call tonight for the big girls high school basketball matchup, Hillsboro at Southwestern. That'll be live tonight around 7 on FM 106. Of course, we'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. We talk to Coach Boker next. Back to Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon at Ohio State. Regular season finale, 2 o'clock with the pregame on 105.3. The Ox. And then tonight here on FM 106, girls high school basketball, Hillsboro will be at Southwestern live at around 7. Gary Boker will have the call, and Gary joins us right now on the phone. Gary, how you doing, man?
I'll tell you what, I'm really enjoying the show this morning. Too bad you had to end up with me, but but anyway, it's been an interesting show this morning. It's been an interesting season, and just a little bit of everything going on in mid-Illinois.
Gary, how many years, or I guess decades, have you been involved in high school athletics in some way, shape, or form?
Let's see. It started back in the 70s. So figure up from there.
There you go. So it's, I mean, obviously you have seen about all that can be seen in high school athletics. You've never seen anything like this. Just your thoughts. Next week we'll have boys soccer, football, volleyball, boys and girls basketball all in season at the same time.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm just very excited that we're actually getting a football season in. And I think the kids and coaches, some of them are looking at it as though, hey, it's spring football just like the colleges do. But it's going to seem kind of odd if we get out on the field that first week and the grass is brown. That usually doesn't happen until the end of the season.
Yeah, you have to be like down in like Carmi White County with that Bermuda grass to get to get that effect. And I that's exactly right, though, Gary. That's been my thought is, just, it is what it is. You know, you hear coaches talk all the time, control what you can control. You can't control what has happened here, but you can control the season is happening starting March 19th. Let's go get it.
Well, and the thing of it is, I think that we have been blessed, especially in the South Central Conference, with a lot of football coaches and basketball coaches who get along well, who coordinate their programs. And so, yes, the boys are, and sometimes the girls as well, are doing double duty as far as practices. But I think the coaches are making a concerted effort not to wear them out, not to make it physically putting them under undue duress. And I think it's paying off. And, you know, most of the kids will tell you, we'd rather be playing games than practicing all the time anyway.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, I will say this, though. I bet kids have never been happier to go to practice than they have been this year.
Oh, yeah, especially those kids in coming up in the so-called spring sports who were cheated out of the season completely last year. You know, they're chomping at the bit to get back at it and have it. Of course, especially with baseball and softball, you have your summer seasons, and so there was some games and stuff. But it's still not the same as being able to put the school uniform on.
You know, talking to Brian Hansel last week, who will soon be your boss, Gary, in the athletic department. But, you know, I mentioned about how it was good to see that the spring sports were going to get a little extra this year because they lost everything. But as Coach Hansel said, maybe. You know, fingers crossed that everything will still work out that way. But at least on paper, the IHSA did as much as they could do to try to make it right with the normal spring sports.
Yeah, but I don't know if you realize this. If the IHSA goes to the state series with baseball, it's going to cost Southwestern maybe up to a dozen games, because we have games scheduled those last 2 or 3 weeks, and we may end up going into regionals, and who knows, if we happen to lose first or second game in the regional, we could lose what he has, 10 or 12 games actually scheduled for the season, when we're thinking that we wouldn't have a state series. So
that is interesting. And then I guess a decision, this is totally hypothetical, would you decide maybe to just bypass the postseason and then guarantee yourselves those 12 games? I don't know.
I don't know what the association would think of that, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people throughout the to have different thoughts about the association anyway.
Well, Gary, I think a lot of the baseball and softball coaches, I think I know what they think of the association, and they might not care too much what they think.
Amen. Amen to that.
Gary, of course, we're looking forward to all the football and the volleyball and the boys soccer, but we still got basketball on the docket here, and what a matchup tonight. And Mother Nature finally did us a favor that, you know, this Hillsboro Southwestern game was supposed to be played weeks ago didn't happen, and now we get it at the back end of the year, and we know exactly what is at stake tonight.
Well, and the thing of it is, it pertains to both the girls and the boys, because the boys, Pena and Hillsborough, were supposed to play it earlier in the season. They didn't get that game in, but they said, we've already got another game scheduled, which will be Monday night, and we'll use that as the conference game. But this one, it took a little bit of a different twist after last night. Greenville upset Pena 47-46. That means Pena, with two losses to both Greenville and Southwestern, cannot win the conference. So it's all down to now Hillsborough and Southwestern. If Southwestern wins, it's over. They win the conference. If Southwestern loses, then they have to hope to get some help from Pena on Monday night, which would still allow them to back into a share of the conference title. So it got a little less complicated, but it's still going to be very interesting.
And isn't it fitting, though, this is why sports are so great, Steve Woolley's last year, and he's got a chance to win the conference title tonight.
And I tell you what, he's been walking with a wounded crew pretty much this season. Didn't have great numbers to begin with, then dropped down to, I think there was 9 on the roster. And then last week when we were doing the Carlinville girl, one of his girls off the bench that he really counted on, she tore an ACL. So he's out, or she's out. So he's down to 8 girls total on his team. So one thing he has to watch out for tonight is keeping the girls on the floor and not on the bench. And I think that advantage then goes to Hillsborough, because Coach Teakin, he's got some reserves on the bench he can count on.
Well, he does. And, you know, you mentioned there the lack of depth maybe for Southwestern. The ability to guard Nakiyah Harston without fouling, that's a lot easier said than done, but that will be a critical aspect of the game tonight.
Well, when you look at the bigs, I think, you know, Harston is tremendous inside for Hillsborough. I also like Claire Tester. I think that she has been outstanding for the last at least 3 years. Every time I see her, she's not the one that'll always showboat or get the big numbers or get this or get that, but she's Miss Steady on the floor, and she is a good complement to Harston. You can't just double down on Harston, because Tester can hurt you also.
You know, and both these teams, so well coached, fundamentally sound year in, year out, and I guess maybe the team that makes the fewest mistakes tonight is probably going to come out in a good spot.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the coaches, it's going to come to a draw. I don't think either one of them is going to outsmart the other one. It's going to come down to who gets the breaks, who makes the turnovers, and basically who makes the shots. And, you know, when you look at these two teams, a lot of similarities exist. Hillsborough, they kind of stumbled coming out of the gate. They lost to Rochester first game of the year by 2 points, and lost at Greenville by 3 points. So they have 2 losses to start the season by a total of 5 points. But I tell you what, they righted the ship, and since then they've gone 12-0. And really, in those 12 wins that they've had only 2 close wins. They won by 3 against Greenville, avenging that earlier loss, and then a 1-point win against Gillespie last night. And I think that kind of surprised some people that it was that close.
You know, Hillsborough Southwestern, they've kind of developed a nice little rivalry here the last few years. Of course, when the conference was split, Southwestern ruled their division. Hillsborough had a great run at the top of their division. But you think about the last couple of years. I remember the year before Hillsborough went to state, Southwestern upset the toppers in the regional. Then the year Hillsborough went to state, they had to come from behind at Southwestern and beat the Birds in the regional final. So they have played some fantastic games against each other here in recent memory.
Yeah, the East versus the West, or as we like to say, the extended Route 16 battle.
That is an extended battle.
You know, we talked about Hillsborough. Southwestern has had a similar schedule. Their only loss of the year was their first game of the year at Jerseyville, 53-44. Since then, they've reeled off 10 wins, and they've had only 2 close wins, a 4-point win against Pena and a 5-point win against Greenville. Other than that, both these teams, they have had double-digit wins for the most part, so two teams that haven't been tested a whole lot, but they're going to be tested tonight.
Gary, talk to me about Steve Woolley. Obviously, you've known Steve for a long, long time. Just a phenomenal basketball coach and, you know, Hall of Famer, all the rest. He never got to the state tournament, and, you know, that it's a shame. It just proves how hard it is to get to the state tournament, because he had a number of teams over the year that were every bit as good as the teams that advanced to the state tournament.
Well, Tim Mize, I'll tell you what, you know as well as I do that getting to the state requires a lot of talent and sometimes a little bit of luck. Yep. And we can point back to your old coach, Jim Lofka, look at all of the outstanding teams that he had, and he couldn't get there, although he should have one year. But
Well, you know, Gary, that's interesting, too, because there's going to be undefeated teams this year that don't win state. Now, there was no state, but still, yep, nonetheless.
But that is the other thing, that usually only the state champion and third place finisher finishes with a win. But there's going to be a lot of coaches that they're going to walk off the floor the final time this year with a victory under their belt, and a lot of people are going to feel pretty good about that.
And I never want to bring this up with Steve. Maybe I will once he's actually retired. But to me, the team that would have got there was the Matty Grayling team the year when they lost on the shot after the buzzer in the sectional semifinal. That to me is just one of the it's the most brutal loss I have ever personally witnessed at the high school level. And, you know, that just sums up, you got to have luck on your side, like you alluded to. That team, I think if that doesn't happen, I think they go, and I think that would have been the team that got him there.
Yeah, woulda, coulda, and shoulda. Oof. But you know the thing about Steve Woolley, the very next year after that game was over, within a couple of weeks, he had the kids for the next year's team, and they were already starting to talk about what they needed to individually work on. And that's one thing I don't think a lot of people realize about Steve Woolley. He spends so much time in the, quote, off season developing individuals, and I can't count on both hands. More than that, he's had kids that I've looked at him, and I said, you know, that's very raw. And he said, but I think there's a possibility. He said, I think there's a diamond in the rough there. And year after year after year, he would produce somebody. He's got one this year, Annie Gallagher. When she came into the program, she wasn't one that you'd look at and say, oh, this is going to be a prolific player. But he has really brought her around to be an outstanding post player. And, of course, that complements Corey Hopkins. You've got the 1-2 inside the game there. And, of course, Southwestern, you know, you're not wearing green and gold unless you shoot the three.
And, you know, Gary, Steve was he was ahead of the game in so many ways, getting down into the lower levels in girls basketball long before that was norm. It's just standard now. Like, if you don't have a girls program going in second or third grade, you're going to be behind the eight ball. But Steve Woolley, he was doing that well before anybody else was making that a normal practice.
Well, not only was he promoting the younger kids, but he was coaching that junior high team, so that by the time they were in fifth and sixth grade, he really had a hold of them. When they hit seventh and eighth grade, they knew the Steve Woolley system. So they actually had 6 years in the program, of which they had the same train of thought, the same coaching. And, of course, that is one of the reasons why success exists, is because you have stability in the program.
No doubt about it. And, man, it's going to be different, isn't it, looking over next year on that Southwestern sideline and not seeing Coach Woolley? Strange.
Well, I guarantee you what, we have 10 teams in the South Central Conference, and there are 9 coaches who are going to be happy.
Yeah.
Not to have to look at that.
That's exactly right. I mean, I always love when you get these, you know, the small public school, when you see this level of consistency year in, year out, it is the coach. I mean, coaches tell you you got to have players, and that's true. But at a small public school, there are years where the talent's just not there. But you have not seen that consistent drop-off with down years stacked together with Steve Woolley as the Birds coach.
Yeah, and I think we can say that about several of the South Central Conference coaches. They, you know, they really know how to cultivate what they have and work with whatever talent they're given. And it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't matter whether the talent is great or not. The effort is always great, and the confidence, I think, is always great. And I think that's one thing the kids relate to. If the coach has faith in the kids, then the kids have faith in the coach.
There you go. And when you put it like that, it sounds so simple and easy, Gary.
Well, it is for Steve Woolley. It is for Darren Deneve. It is for Brett Teakin. But for guys like me, it wasn't so easy.
Gary, will you be on the air about 7 tonight? Is that the plan?
We're hoping there will be no JV game, so we won't have to worry about how far or how long it goes. And the non-tip-off is going to be scheduled at 7 o'clock. And I'll be glad when we get back to having an open tip-off. How many times this year have I wanted to say tip-off will be when we come back, and it's not going to be a tip-off. But anyway, we'll get her on going on tonight at Piasaw, and hopefully we'll have a good time, and hopefully we'll have a lot of listeners, because we may be the only game in town tonight.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. And I think the first game I did this year, I think I said we'll be back with the tip after this and didn't even realize it.
It's habit.
It does. Gary Boker, thank you so much this morning. Have fun tonight.
All right. You take care.
All right. That is Gary Boker. He will have the call of the ball game tonight, Hillsboro at Southwestern Live at around 7 here on WSMI FM. 106. Don't forget, Fighting Illini basketball today at Ohio State. Regular season finale pregame 2 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox. Cardinal baseball tomorrow against the Astros. 11:55 pregame. AM 1540. FM 106.9 and 92.9. Hey, thanks to Hillsboro boys coach Joe Vanzo, Carlinville football coach Chad Easterday, Gillespie co-op boys soccer coach John Overticchio, and Gary Boker for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. I am Tim Mize, and that is it here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.